Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 10th of March, recording at 8:47 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here today. Stock markets in Asia were pretty much all on the downside. An exception was the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, up nearly one percentage point. The European markets flirted with unchanged, but then closed with modest declines of 1% and a bit on average. Wall Street with slightly larger declines, ranging from nearly 2% on NASDAQ to 1.5% on the S&P and 1.29 on the Dow, but closing near the lows of the day. It's closed before 9 o'clock because the U.S. markets have gone on to daylight savings time, whereas we don't do that, I think, for another couple of weeks. And what else here? Bond markets strong against the background of this weak performance here by stock markets. The U.S. dollar is quiet in here today. It's down against the Swissie and it's down against the yen, but it is up against things like the Australian and New Zealand dollars, and it's up a fraction against the euro, but the euro is pretty solid over here, 153.43. Against that background and the markets, stock market sell-off, precious metals swung around a bit. Currently, we see gold at 971.70. That's down 150. It's had a range of 980.5 to 961.75 in here today. And other precious metals, silver's taken a hit in here today, currently 969. That's down 56 cents on the May contract. Platinum and palladium are definitely weaker in here today, although palladium, beg your pardon, platinum is $100 off its low. It's currently at 2020 for the April contract. Industrial metals are weaker in here today, as are a number of commodities, but a couple of strong ones, soybeans and corn. Okay, what to make of it all? Well, it's no secret that investors are very nervous as far as stock markets are concerned. And we also see plenty evidence here of deleveraging. That process has been evident for really quite some time. How do we know that? Well, we see it in the strength of carry trades, such as the Japanese yen. And you see it also, I think, in the price action. When Wall Street's weak, we tend to get this contagion selling in other areas. And we also see it in an explosion of interest in the TIPS. Those are those inflation matching or CPI matching in the U.S. Instruments. And Owen's done a piece on them today. They've actually gone to a negative yield, and they track the CPI. It's hard to see how people are going to make money there, in my view. But I'll stay with that theme for a moment. He's done the copy. Owen's done the copy on this, and I can do is second what he says and reiterate some of it here. But when people are willing to accept a negative yield, on the basis that they would rather have this form of inflation protection than anything else, but it's only CPI inflation, when we know that the CPI excludes oil and food prices and that those are the main cause of the current inflation problems, I find the TIPS a really rather unattractive vehicle. Far better to have gold in my view, if you want that inflation hedge. And although there are some legitimate reasons for being a bit concerned about gold at this particular moment in its medium-term move, but I come back to that gold point, although not the tips. And let me go back to the stock markets, though, and pick up on that theme, because what we are seeing is the Wall Street leash effect yanking down a number of these markets around the globe, and there's no great surprise in all that. I mean, they'll hold out. We've had a weakening. I've often described a weakening of the Wall Street leash effect, but if it's grinding it out day after day on the downside, as it has been recently, ever since we had that failure up near the February highs, inviting the short sellers back in and causing more people to cash out, that persistent weakness by Wall Street has certainly played on nerves in other markets that are fundamentally a good deal more sound, I would argue, than the U.S. Or, if that's too subjective, that have less of a link to the property and subprime-related and credit-related problems that are very much a problem for the U.S. economy. And to bring it all together in terms of the chart action, we have these European indices, well, most of them, right down testing or very close to testing those January intraday lows that I had referred to on a number of occasions, those what I described as those climactic lows on the 22nd of January. Now, the U.S. indices, or at least the Dow, I'll talk about the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ, are similarly testing those levels. Actually, the NASDAQ is through its intraday low of January 22nd, and the S&P is on a closing basis, as it was, I think, last Thursday and Friday. So this has understandably made people very, very nervous. How do these charts look technically? Well, not good, is the obvious answer, because these markets are still in downtrends. They are pressuring former lows, which are in danger of giving way, and unless we get upward dynamics here, and it's not immediately obvious what the catalyst would be for that, it would have to be the Fed and the Treasury pulling a rabbit out of the hat. Unless we see upward dynamics, as I've been saying in the audios last week, we have to assume that these markets are breaking down. At this point, that, as I've mentioned before, also does open the door to a further sell-off. And there is also a possibility that that sell-off will become climactic. Now, that's a possibility. As I say, it's not a forecast. There's also a possibility that markets have seen sufficient selling pressure so that they break down, but they don't actually go very far. In other words, the low on the 22nd of January proves to be a penultimate low. How would we know that? Well, we wouldn't get another big downward move, and instead markets would go lower for a short while and then get a bounce and move back up above, back into that into the current range that they're about to break out of on the downside. So, what to make of it all here? The bears are still in charge. It's for the bulls to prove if markets are not actually going to go lower here at this stage. Now, markets are volatile often. Markets usually overshoot. Trends, I should say, overshoot in both directions. And a breakdown at this point just opens the door to the possibility that we get what, in my opinion, would be an overshoot, and would certainly be another step on the downside. Sentiment, I think, is a contrary indicator. I was talking to a Swiss-based banker today with a number of interesting contacts, and I said, what does everybody say? What is everyone saying out there in terms of what's the ratio of bulls to bears? And he hesitated for a moment, and then he said, they're at least 95% bearish. And to me, that's, as I say, a contrary indicator. It suggests that this is a late stage of this decline overall. But if I say today, are the lows holding? Well, it doesn't look like it. Those upper dynamics are required. And there's the risk, definite risk now, of an overshoot on the downside. Am I going to panic out of my positions because of this? Well, no. I'm bracing myself for a little bit more uncomfortable selling pressure. But as I have a cash position and as much cash as I actually wish to have, perhaps more cash, and as I have my portfolio entirely in fuller money themes that have tended to hold up quite well, as you will have seen, except when we get the climactic selling activity, I'm very much inclined to hold on, and I would be very reluctant to sell 7 months into a Wall Street downturn when I see big sections of the global economy doing quite well. So I'm trying to put this in perspective here. The U.S. credit crunch, and that has spread to Europe, of course, but that's not true right across the entire world. And there are a lot of economies out there represented, that represent the fuller money themes, that are going to show very solid GDP growth rates. And I think it would be, I see no evidence that this is going to turn into a global recession. And I've got a lead article that I have posted here today. It came from the FT. Air Liquide chief finds few storm clouds, and just talking about a number of industrialists actually who run major international companies, and things are doing extremely well. That's not true of the financial sector. And the financial sector produces a great deal of the research that one sees. And from their perspective, if the income stream has been torpedoed and they're not quite sure what's going to replace it, and my answer would be good old-fashioned responsible banking, but that would look like a respectable but possibly kind of dull growth field relative to the some of the financial derivatives plays that they've been enjoying. I can see why anybody coming from that background is going to think that the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, to coin a phrase. Well, it's not. Therefore, I'm certainly not going to be panicked out of any of my fuller money theme positions in here if we get another selling squall, which is obviously a real possibility at this stage. What I might do, however, is pick up some more positions in fuller money themes. The last really important one that I did was when Rio Tinto had plunged down with Wall Street in that third week in January. That created a wonderful buying opportunity. I will see if similar buying opportunities are thrown up either in mining shares or anything else, and that would create, as I say, another opportunity. But another point to mention here in terms of these stock markets is that, of course, you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide, and markets are providing a very choppy, risky environment here right now. Those of you who've been on my course, which is now Owen's course, the Chart Seminar, will know that I've said that there are a few things that you can guarantee in life, but one of them will be, as far as markets are concerned, that there will be periods of wonderfully consistent rhythmic trends. and those will be great money-making opportunities. And there will be other times when those trends are either thrown into reverse or give way to a lot of whipsaw churning activity, which is distressing, very difficult to deal with, and can too easily cost us money. We can't change that. We have to operate a reasonably conservative policy during such periods. And I think this is not a time to be taking a lot of risks. In here, you may feel you're taking a lot of risks by holding onto a portfolio. That's not what I had in mind. I wouldn't be jumping in and out of this market at this stage. If you're out, or if you've reduced, if you have a cash level that suits you, then fine. I would stay with that and see if we do get another selling panic in here, such as we had in January and such as we had last August. That would create another buying opportunity. I've often talked about a long convalescence being necessary. So I don't think you need to feel in any pressure in terms of actually missing out on something, not as far as these stock markets are concerned. We should expect more of the same, choppy ranging activities, now the real risk of an overshoot on the downside. Now I better move on. And government bonds, they're going to take their cue from stock markets. There's enough inflation around to make bonds very risky once confidence begins to return to in stock markets. So when people are less worried about the global slowdown and begin to focus on growth, then they will worry even more about inflation as far as these very low long-dated government bond yields are concerned, and those bonds will become a short again. But right now, they're catching some of that flight to safety or flight to, and I put inverted commas around quality. That's what's going on in the bond markets here right now. It's a safe haven bolt hole, but I think the long-term values are terrible. Now, Owen and I have certainly liked the precious metals for a very long time. I think this is a bit dangerous here. Chances are that gold hasn't peaked yet on this medium-term cycle, but I've described it as being mature for quite some time, and we have seen platinum break down, we've seen palladium break down, silver looks a bit vulnerable. So in terms of leveraged futures trading, well, personally, I'm out, and I described it as having a rest. But also, when I saw my best trades, when I saw silver tack on $3 in a couple of weeks, well, that's too good to last, and for certain, that's a dramatic acceleration. So these markets are quite risky. I also describe right now, or I'll put it this way, the risk has gone up a lot here. Gold perhaps is the safest one if I held gold bullion in any of the bullion funds. I would be less concerned, but I would be thinking about lightening if we do get an acceleration in gold on the upside. Gold's the only one that has not accelerated so far. It doesn't have to every time, but it could well do so, given the general nervousness. I remain a big long-term bull of gold, but I've referred to this approximately 26-month cycle that we've seen in the past with the gold during this overall bull market recovery move, and we must certainly be 21, 22 months, and I have to go back and count all the way through them on the chart here within this cycle. But more important than having to do that, it's looking at the chart action, the speed up with the upward trends, and the extremely bullish forecasts that we've been receiving from all and sundry. This is late stage of this medium-term cycle, as I've been emphasizing daily in these broadcasts. Also the foods. Last week we had a number of weekly key reversals in some of these important commodities, and I just have described it for at least a fortnight as a crowded trade. Too many people were long here. I just would tread very warily now in these foods. Again, this is a secular theme, but I just feel it's run too far in the medium term, and is therefore vulnerable. If you want a contrarian trade, it's certainly not the tips, in which I promised I wouldn't mention again, and lied clearly. It's certainly not the foods. It's certainly not precious metals. It would be some of the bank shares. UBS yielding 7.5%. It's fallen for 10 straight months. This has discounted an awful lot of bad news. Maybe there's a little bit more to come. I don't see anything on the chart that says it's actually bottomed yet. Selling's been unrelenting here, but this remains a world-class bank, or certainly a hugely important Swiss bank with a world-class wealth management section, a worldwide wealth management section. And I suspect you actually get the investment bank, for better or for worse, for free. I haven't bought it yet, but if I were putting money in this market right now, I'd be much more interested in something that's really bombed out like that with a big yield and going to survive than I would in joining a very crowded trade at this stage of the cycle. And that would apply to not only tips, but would also apply to precious metals and also the foods. And I've gone on enough. So all the best to all of you.